Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Hello, welcome to another edition of the Chicago Way. That's the best podcast in Chicago with Jeff Carlin from WGN Radio and me, John Cash, your mild-mannered syndicated columnist. You know, I do that syndicated thing because just to be a jerk about it, okay?
Sure.
I don't care. Okay, so later on in the show, we're going to have a discussion about a bleeping nightmare for me, which would be the Cat Cafe. Yeah, I mean, why would I want to go to a cafe with cats in it? I don't know. And then also something fun, which is Game of Thrones talk with Marwa Eltaguri and Will Lee from the Chicago Tribune. They are huge Game of Thrones aficionados. But first, I got to finish a story. Okay, Jeff?
Yeah, we left off last week a story about a plowing mule, I believe.
Yeah, here's the deal on this thing. Whenever I hear, check your privilege, or, you know, John Cass, you're so privileged, I really want to, I don't want to get violent, but I think of my dad.
Mm-hmm.
My dad plowed with mules. My father, when he was grown up, a man, my aunts were in the fields with choppers to break up the clods. And he plowed with mules. You know why? Not for fun, like Al Gore, you know, Senator Gore on the plantations where servants bring him lemonade and he can pretend to plow for a little bit for a photo op. This was plowing fields so you can eat. And it bothers me. So anyway, I was telling you about this mule. It was after the World War II. They had fought the communists off. They had fought the Germans had left. They had fought the Italians. They had fought the Germans. The Germans left. Then came the communists, and that was even worse. That's brother against brother, cousin against cousin, and that is terrible. And then came the Marshall Plan, where the president of the United States, Harry Truman, and Secretary of State Marshall, former general, came up with this idea to rebuild Europe. Part of it was you could, if you were in America and you had relatives in the war-torn countries, you could help send them a mule. So the family that was here, a few of my aunts who were here, sent money in. They had a mule ready to pick up in Greece. Pick up your mule. This is like how cool. This is not, oh, where's my cell phone? Where's my, how come I don't have, you know, internet access? Where's my Wi-Fi? Where's my 60-inch screen TV? No, this is, here's your mule so you can maybe live, scratch out a living on rocky dirt. So they picked a mule. And the mule was a black mule, long-legged. My papu didn't like it. They decided to go for a shorter-legged white mule. And this mule...
Was there a trade involved?
I don't know. There might have been barter of some kind.
Sure.
You know? And bazaar, bazaari. And they came away with a white mule. And because it came from the United States, and because they were so poor and hungry... they still kept their sense of humor. and their pluckiness. So they named him Truman. Truman the Mule after the President of the United States, out of respect.
That's great.
And a little mocking, too, right?
Sure.
So the Truman the Mule maybe wasn't as ugly as I made him out to be, because some people thought in the village, the best village in the world, Rizes, Arcadia, they thought that the mule was gorgeous. Apparently, the mule one day fell into the town square and stayed there dead, Truman the Mule. And they all came running, all the children came running to my my grandmother, and they said, "The mule, Truman, the mule, he's down, he's down." And people gathered around. There was Truman, legs out, dead to the world, on his side, in the main square. What are we going to do? Because if you lose your mule, you can starve in those days. What are we going to do? They said, "What are we going to do?" They asked Yayangela, my grandmother, to say the prayers. She said the prayers of exorcism because somebody put the mati on it. And
what's
one of
the mati?
The evil eye.
Oh, okay.
Somebody must have said, "Oh, this is a beautiful mule." And if you do that, that's called the mati. If you pray something too effusively, you could curse it. That's why you have to spit. Like when I say, "Jeff Carlin, what a beautiful beard you have." Thoo, thoo, thoo. I spit it three times. I don't want you to get,
gotcha,
you know, to have something like your beard to fall out. And then I would be blamed. So apparently she said the prayers. The oil came off her fingers into the water glass as she was praying, and the oil dissolved.
What?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And the mule stood up, and Truman was fine. And everyone was happy. Truman, he's alive! Oh, miracle! God. So sometime later, my father's plowing with Truman in the fields. My aunts are out there with the hose chopping up the clods that were left. This is, you know, really romantic.
Sure.
This is not the Greek islands. This is the Peloponnesus, okay, where people are trying to survive and live. And what happened is Truman cut the back of his leg. So my father was brushing away the horse flies. And that's when Truman kicked him in the head. Kicked him right in the head. And my father fell on the ground. And my aunts came running. And he was dizzy and blood all over him. And he said, I don't know whether it was Thea Matina or Thea Tula or someone, said, "Okay, don't touch the top of my head." He said, "I want you to pick the head that's hanging." This is literally translated. He thought his head had been kicked off and that the brains were exposed because he could feel the air.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Pick up my head from the hair." He thought it was kicked off, like, and it was hinged, you know?
Right.
"Pick the hair, put it back on. Don't touch it. Don't touch it." And ultimately, he got better. And Truman lived. But I think from that moment, my family was conservative.
Last night.
Sometimes you just got to get away from reality, okay? So let's talk about a different subject that is near and dear to my heart. Because if there's nothing I like better than was getting a tweet from Jeff Carlin the other day saying, "Hey, I'm going to have Jenny Tyner on to talk about cats, and Steve Dale, who's the Pet World, Mr. Pet World on WGN, and he's going to talk about cats. Because, as Jeff Carlin knows, there's nothing I like better than being around people who've had their souls sucked out of their bodies by the familiars of Satan. Jeff Carlin.
Exactly, John. This is something that I've been working, Steve and I have been scheming about for a couple weeks here. Mm-hmm. And it's right up your alley, Cat Cafe, John. It's going to be the greatest thing ever.
Oh, you know how, you know, at this Cat Cafe, I'm
Wait,
sure
let's
going
say
to
what
be,
it is.
Okay, I'll let you and Jenny talk about that.
Jenny Tyner is the founder of the Windy City Cat Cafe and Lounge.
Yay.
Jenny.
I am.
What is this about?
It's about a place for the community where there's part cafe, part lounge filled with adoptable cats, and that's about it.
So you can eat,
drink.
There? What food do you give offer?
There will be pastries from local eateries. So,
and you can bring your cat?
You cannot bring your cat. That's the most asked questions. There will be about 10 to 15 adoptable cats from a shelter there all the time.
So you want people to be around cats while they're eating and socializing.
Uh-huh.
Is that it?
Well, let me explain some of this. So this all began. Talk about the history.
Get thee behind me, Steve Dale, and tell me what's going on.
Well, this all began in the Far East. And in Japan and South Korea, they began these little cafes that they opened, and they called them cat cafes. They didn't have – their model was not to have adoptable cats. They just had cats in there walking around, and people would go in there. And you know what? The people were millennials. And you know what millennials do? They put everything on social media. So this became really popular. I mean, really popular on Snapchat and Instagram and Twitter. And it grew and it grew and it grew.
What
it
grew?
Spread.
What the heck grew?
More people coming in.
I want to have a cup of coffee with a cat walking
around. Yes!
Around.
Yes!
No
and,
joke.
And today there are 81 of these places called cat cafes in America. And I am shocked you, John Cass, have not visited all 81. Because this would be your thing. There are tours. You know how people take architecture tours of certain cities? And they'll hit a city and they'll hit another city and another city. There are now cat cafe tours where they go from city to city to city. John, I would think that you'd
what
be leading one of these.
What are they doing?
They go to the different cat cafes. That's all they do.
And post it on social media.
Yeah.
Cats and coffee, John.
Cats, coffee, T-shirts.
It's a thing. It's a
huge
thing.
I'm not some old lady who reads T.S. Eliot and plays piano with a dusty piano with a cat and do, you know, my yoga, my cat, my non-caffeine tea, all that other stuff. Ugh.
It's funny you say that yoga. Because speaking of yoga.
There will be yoga with cats.
But downward,
it's very popular.
Downward dog
no
is
joke.
Not allowed.
Steve Dale, check you out.
It's very exciting.
Is, you know what's most exciting to me? There are several things that seriously are exciting to me about this. First of all, second of all, and third of all, we're talking about adopting out more cats.
Because that's what we need, more cats in the world. Okay.
Oh, God, yes.
It's good for the economy, John.
Yeah. Well, that too.
Cats, people have to feed cats. Let's
point of personal privilege here.
Yes.
Just let the record be known that Steve Dale, Jenny Tyner, and Jeff Carlin are all cat lovers, and they love cats. Correct?
Oh, yeah.
Cats.
So let's curb our enthusiasm a little bit.
Well, John, you love rabbits.
Okay, Jenny. Where's your cat cafe? Where's the Windy City Cat Cafe?
Well, we're not sure yet, or Jenny isn't sure, so she's scouting locations. In what neighborhood do you think?
As long as it's not mine, it's good. What neighborhood?
Which neighborhood is yours?
I live out in the suburbs, like where I belong now.
There's actually people that have written me and requested that I also do one in the suburbs.
Really?
But I won't do it because of you.
No, you're welcome to come. I'm not the king of any. I'm not a Democratic boss. You can open your
But the places we're looking at right now, I've got a few to visit today and tomorrow for realtors that are interested, are Lincoln Park and Ukrainian Village.
I'm surprised.
Are you?
Not Wicker Park? Not Wicker Park?
There are some in Wicker Park that I'm waiting to hear back
okay.
from.
So, in Wrigleyville,
so
and also Lakeview.
Yeah.
A major cat
Lakeview
center, as we know.
Another one.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Jenny was kind of once like you. I just learned
yeah.
today.
Explain.
How so, Jenny? Tell me.
So, I didn't like cats. I only like dogs. I was raised in a family with dogs, and I am incredibly allergic to cats. So, to be
very
around
much
these
in
cats,
common.
You said Satan or something a minute ago.
Sudafed.
I used to think they were Satan's spawn. And then I met, I did. Then my boyfriend had a cat. So I got to know the cat. I took Flonase and all
Sudafed.
These different things every
I
day
just
to
some.
Be around him. And I love him. And then I started rescuing cats. And now I have foster babies. And all, yeah,
How
I'm
many
completely
cats do you have?
In love with them. I only have one, mm-hmm. but I foster four.
And Jeff has two.
Mm-hmm.
The Tywin Lannister of cats.
One passed away recently.
Really?
So, yes.
And Steve, do you have cats at home?
Yeah, I have one. Two dogs.
What's the name of your... And a fish?
A lizard.
What is a lizard. What's the name of your cat, Steve?
Roxy.
And what's the name of your cat, Jenny?
Juice.
And what's the name of your cats?
Tyr and the Half Cat and Ilsa Penelope Cat.
And the foster babies are Titan, Logan, Alaska, and... Another one's Pine Nut, named by.
So we're going to go to the Jenny Tyner Cat Cafe, the Windy City Cat Cafe.
Windy Kitty Cat Cafe.
And what will we have to order? For? Like, I come looking for cats.
A barista on staff to do some fancy drinks, or is it going to be?
There will not be a barista on staff. There will be a separate space that is a cafe. But it will be the person that is kind of in the reception area serving up what they want, or they can do it themselves. And the pastries will all be there. The person will help you get that.
So,
and then as far as food goes,
yeah.
I went to a cafe in Manhattan, mm-hmm. and what they allowed also was for you to order food from the outside. So that was another kind of cool thing that I thought we could do is just order from the local businesses. So we'll have a bunch of menus around.
And then they could bring them in.
Right.
What about, a pharmacist for Flonase, Sudafed?
No, I'm going to have a basket at the door with Flonase in it.
Yeah, and then what about an exorcist, like a little exorcist booth?
Hey.
Jenny, I just must tell you that my eyes are already shutting, okay, being around you guys. But my that's why Jeff's behind
the
glass.
That's why I'm behind the glass, yeah, when we
okay.
do this.
Well, here's what we do know.
Yes.
So you've gone into places like Starbucks, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, maybe not you. Most of us
no,
have.
No, I go.
Oh,
although, I'll give you a hint. You want a cup of coffee and breakfast for $5, you go downstairs to the Billy Goat, you get a huge ham and egg sandwich. Mm. Right, Jeff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
$5, the whole thing. So it's not like $5 for your coffee.
Cat cafe. Billy Goat Cat Cafe? No? They had a goat down there last year.
There are goat cafes. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
So here's what
I did not know that, Jenny.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't either. So here's what we do know about cat cafes, because there are 81 of them mm-hmm. in the U.S. So we've seen what they do, and they see the difference that they've made. Chicago has been so slow to jump on board with all this. So you go into a Starbucks, not Billy Goat, this is the case too,
no,
but
Starbucks.
Not Starbucks.
Starbucks.
Or another, and they're wonderful.
Okay,
but you go in,
right.
You go in, you have your cup of coffee, your head is on your phone or on your laptop. Animals, we do know, facilitate social interaction
they
between
do,
people.
Don't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We know for a fact that dogs and build community.
That's why when my dog Zeus, the Zeus the Wonder Dog, was a puppy, my sons would walk him. Love to walk in because girls, you know.
Oh,
right?
They are the best.
It's like the way to meet girls, right?
Well, it turns out at cat cafes, people have met one another. Mm-hmm. They've hooked up.
There's nothing like a latte and, say, like a Madeleine, right? A Madeleine,
yeah.
Whatever that, right?
Madeleine.
Delicious.
Delicious.
And you're thinking, and maybe I'll be reading F. Scott Fitzgerald or something, as if I were 19 back in college.
Yeah.
And like the boy in the hotel as big as the Ritz or something, or the rich boy or something like that. And I'm reading this, thinking about the poetry I'm going to write about in my column that rhymes. And all of a sudden I see two cats in there, and they're doing it.
What?
Are the cats in these places neutered?
Yes.
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 They are all
yes.
adoptable ready. So that means that before
I don't
they
have
come
to
in,
see the whole sex show of cats.
No.
Okay, good.
But there is going to be apparently a movie night, and
yep.
I don't know what movies Jenny plans on screening here.
Probably cat-themed somehow.
Oh, really? That's
yeah.
a surprise. So, but they will not be X-rated movies, I
no.
assume. There you go.
No.
Will the cats be staying there? I mean, are you bringing
yes.
them? Okay, so it's essentially it's like an adoption service with a cafe that where you can live and or be with the cats.
Yeah,
the
so
I like
the,
to call it a big foster home.
Got
so
it.
Nice.
It's a foster home.
It is.
You
it's
know,
homey.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be like home.
This is a live rescue specifically that you're
mm-hmm.
going to be working with, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And they will in part take cats from Animal Care and Control.
Right.
So what has happened in other cities is here is another physical outlet and a very comfortable one for people to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, one that has a nice location. And they are very successful at finding more cats' homes, which I know even you think is a good thing.
So there's one that opened in January this year.
Yeah.
And it's had 300 adoptions. Not here. Sorry. Indianapolis?
Mm-hmm.
300 adoptions.
Really?
No.
January,
so it's 7 months. Yeah.
Now, there aren't going to be any feral cats here. These are adoptable cats.
Yeah.
They'll all be, you
strays
know, alive
and
will.
Alive.
Meet the cats or have the cats there, assess them. Are they good for the public? If they're not, they'll probably stay.
And Jenny also is going to take some cats because one facility in Chicago was doing this. It seems they're not anymore. So you'll periodically take some cats with special needs.
Mm-hmm.
So cats with hyperplasia syndrome, cats cats that act dizzy all the time.
Yeah.
They have a neurological issue. But as far as we can tell, they feel okay.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, as kittens, as they age, actually grow out of this. They just have to be kept safe so they don't fall downstairs kind
themselves.
Of thing. Yeah, yeah. A cat maybe with three legs, cat with half a tail missing, those sorts
all
of things.
Kind of
that
mm-hmm.
other
missing
shelters,
eyes.
Yeah, other shelters may not take them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and why, even if they are slow to adopt out, they've got a wonderful homey atmosphere to be
exactly.
in, and certainly a lot of people around.
Jenny, when people are sitting around having their lattes with strange cats, do they tend to, if they love cats, they might adopt them, right?
Exactly. That's the hope.
Because they'll see them. Now, will they be walking around, or will they be in cages?
So it's a cage-free environment. So they'll be walking around and people can, you know, there's going to be toys everywhere so they can play with the cats. They, you know, if they're sleeping, snuggle up next to them and just kind of pet them. It's going to be just like home.
And
really,
it is soothing
it is.
To pet an animal, is it not, Jeff?
Yeah,
like
when they start
to
purring.
Pet a cat?
Sure.
Oh, man, come on. If I need to relax and my cat starts purring and I'm petting, oh, my gosh. It's just so calming, which is another thing. People coming in after work. Something like that.
Like I could see someone stressed, right,
yeah,
Steve?
Yeah.
And they want to take a nap. They have their little, like, what's the coffee or the tea that makes you sleep?
Sleepy time tea.
Sleepy time tea. And then I grab a cat by the scruff of its neck and I hope not. Or I ask it because you have to speak it to it in a language or something
of
catness.
Yes.
And then I say, please, cat, in this strange language, please sit on my chest.
Uh-huh.
While I sleep, and then you can purr, and that kind of is soothing, right?
Sure. It
to
is.
Some people, right?
Sure.
I think you were
yes.
touching on that a minute ago.
Aren't I being nice, Jeff? Jeff's looking at me
very,
like,
very nice.
Right?
You're being so sweet.
I think we've sold you on this. Clearly, we're going to have...
come in, right? On me. I'm going to give you the flow name.
You know what I think?
In the door.
I think you ought to
I can't
name...
even... I seriously cannot open my eyes thinking about this.
I think
Cass's
I'm so
corner.
Excited.
You ought to name, yes, Cass's Corner, and there'll be a scratching post.
There you go.
In
thank
your name.
You.
Yes.
I could use it myself.
After some like days here, I bet
itch,
you could.
You know, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so pastries, who's going to make the pastries? Jenny, you?
Well, one place that I really want is Molly's Cupcakes. Everything has to come prepackaged, though. There can be no open food. So we're just going to talk to a lot of local bakeries. It ultimately depends on the final location. I'm going to kind of look at who's around and who can supply this locally.
Okay, that's very interesting, and I think it's great that you can do that, that you want to help cats and help
support
cat
the
people.
Local economy.
Yeah. And I also like the idea of dog cafes.
There are some.
That would be nice, and
there are some, right?
Yeah.
But I just want a list of them so that I don't go.
What?
Because if I go to a dog cafe, I'm going to order the veal. Can I have some veal, salt, and vodka? And then I see a dog lifting its leg in the room across the, you know, on the wicker outside furniture. I'm like, out of there, okay? I'm not going to go eat where dogs are eating. I don't even like Zeus the Wonder Dog looking at me when I'm eating.
Well, you know what we do
you
have
know what
now?
I say to him?
What do you say?
Get back. I just say it in that tone, and he gets back because I cannot stand a dog looking me in the eye while I'm carving into a good porterhouse steak. And what do you say about that, Steve?
Well, here's
what
I say.
And what about cats begging? Do cats beg too?
Sure.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they can, yeah. But several questions all here at once. So first of all, what I love, you've got it now, and this is the kind of place, if I know John Cass, he's going into. There are dozens of bars in Chicago that don't serve food. Some of them you can order in pizza from the place down the street. And dogs are welcome in the bar. You know, years ago, I was testifying in front of city council, and you know how much fun that is.
Did I cover that?
And I was talking about the idea of dogs dining outside. And finally, we officially made it legal, because what happened back in the day, this is true, what happened is, I mean, for years, people would do it, restaurants would do it, and then Mayor Daley at the time would say, we need to send out our investigators, our licensed people, because we need to find people. And in fact, when you read the city code at the time, I'm getting off the topic, but when you read the city code at the time, it said something like, it was so antiquated, that no animals, particularly chickens, could be outside. I mean, it was written in the 1800s. So we wanted to update all that. So I testified in front of city council, and the aldermen were questioning me. And they said, well, how healthy is it for food to be outside and dogs to be outside? And I asked, I said, how many of you have a dog? And most everybody raised their hand. I said, how many of you, be honest with me, eat in your kitchen and the dog is in the kitchen at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
And as many people raised their hand. And I said, you know what the real concern is, if we're talking about health concerns, which they said they were? I said, the real concern is you've got to find a way to put diapers on birds, because we've been eating outside for a very long time as human beings, and that is where potentially an infectious problem can come from. You're all still here, and I'm still here.
Jeff, diapers on birds or cats can take care of the birds.
There you go.
Right?
Okay.
Yes.
As
no,
a matter of fact, I have a bunny issue.
Oh, I went down the wrong road.
And I'm wondering, can I borrow some of your cats? I don't want them in my house. But if I stake them on each corner, on like little, yeah, stake them like with a chain, like or maybe like a chest. I don't want to get
harness.
I don't want to get in there.
Thank you, Jeff.
Make them choke because they have to be able to eat, and then stake them on little silver chains. Very nice, very you know,
elegant.
Gosh. Four on, so they could reach all around the, not get into my vegetables, but around them. Would they do a job on the rabbits?
Oh, for sure.
Hmm?
Yeah. Why do you want that?
I think the dogs might do it quicker than cats, right?
Yeah, my dog, when he doesn't eat, like Betty says, he's not eating.
My
and then
dog
we
loves
know.
Squirrels.
Yeah. Then we know. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want Steve Daley to even look at me. I'm not even looking at Steve Daley.
That's true.
Eye.
You know what?
Steve
About
Dale
the...
will be looking at me. I'm covering my eye to protect my face from Steve.
But Steve Dale what? Knows what a huge dog lover you really are.
That's right. And
They're
they
sweet.
Need protein to live. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
But okay, you know what? Not as much protein as one would think. So those TV commercials that we see about bringing out the wolf in your dog are absolutely silly. Dogs' nutritional needs are actually more like ours than they are like wolves.
Well, good. So I hope they like baklava and a cigarette with some coffee. In the meantime, Jenny Tyner.
Hello.
How founder of Windy City Cat Cafe.
Windy Kitty.
Windy Kitty.
From Windy City.
Windy Kitty with a K. Cat Cafe. How could people find out more about your cat cafe, which is about to be given birth. Not one, but maybe just one now, right? You're only going to have one.
Right, just right now.
And then eight later. But right now, one.
Well, you can find us at WindyKittyChicago.com or on Facebook or Instagram at Windy Kitty Cat Cafe.
And Steve Dale, where can people find you when you're not staring at them in anger because they might have said something wrong about cats or pets?
You know what,
I'm covering
John,
my eyes.
You cannot help it. I just love you. In fact, I love you so much that I've got something for you. Now, last time I was in the studio, I brought in catnip, and we saw John Cass.
Good.
Yeah, roll around in a way we never have before.
Oh, yeah, Steve.
This time.
Come here, let me kiss your ear now.
No
Maybe
way.
Not.
Here.
Oh. What is that?
Oh, for Zeus?
Is that a Kong?
Yeah.
It's a Kong.
That floats.
Wubba. It's got two long ears, so it suggests a rabbit.
Actually, as it turns out, who knew?
That's awesome.
And it squeaks. Your dog Zeus will love it.
It's training for when you
parfait pour tirer et lancer.
Gracias.
Right?
What did he say?
Some French thing. It's a French rabbit. Here you go, Jenny.
That's
take a
cute.
Look at that. Your cat, do cats like to play with these toys?
Not these toys.
That's a bit big for a cat. But.
Okay, as far as I'm concerned, I'm really glad you both came in because I want people to know more about cat cafes and Jenny Tyner's Windy Kitty Cafe, again at
WindyKittyChicago.com.
Right, and Steve Dale, because he's always good with pets, although he hated my idea of having terrier rat fights in the alley so we could bet on them, because I still think it's a good deal.
I'm still not so sure.
Yeah. So if you want to know more about that, but understand, as far as I'm concerned, I will never, ever set foot in your place. But I still respect you and love you for coming on. Jeff,
thank
don't
you.
Look
we
at me like
too.
That. I can't go into a cat cafe.
I wouldn't expect you to, John.
All we're going to get one of those frequent visitor cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every time you come in, you get points on it?
If you fall asleep, everybody listen to me. If you fall, it's happened to me with two Persians. They almost got me, my grandmother's big, fat Persian black cats.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come up on a baby when it's sleeping, get into the crib.
Oh, come on.
And sit on its chest. And try to suck the soul out of its body.
You don't really believe
That's
that.
What happened.
No.
She had to take a broom handle. She chased. I heard the crack.
No.
It scared the crap out of me.
He is making that
What
up.
Are you talking about?
Do you know where that comes from?
No, I don't want to have your rational. I'm saying they suck
yeah,
your soul
out of
your body.
You don't want to be rational. That's right.
They don't. Jenny, tell me this is not true. Is
it's
it true?
Not true.
Cat propagandists are telling me it doesn't exist.
That they'll suck the soul out of babies?
There isn't one instance.
Yes, or humans, if you're just sleeping.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
When you get a cat and it looks you straight in the eye and it's like,
here's
you.
What happens.
No, they love
and
it.
Then, you know what happens?
So
and then
sweet.
He looks at you and say if it's name. What's the name of this hypothetical cat that you just,
Logan.
Black one? What?
Logan.
And then about two days later, Steve Dale and Jenny Tyner are running around the kitchen going, Logan, we're your servants too. Logan, we're your servants. I saw that movie, man. It's with the goat. Jenny Tyner, Steve
Hello.
Dale, thanks so much for joining us. I'm not as anti-cat as I would like you to believe. Mm. I'm just a little afraid. But I still, I offer myself up to always experience new things.
I can hold your hand in there.
Thank you, Jenny. Right as long as I can wear a gigantic rubber hazmat suit, I'll be fine. Thank you very much for coming today, guys.
You're great. Thank you, John.
Us now in our Game of Thrones nerdgastic segment, and we are three nerds who just love the Game of Thrones. Marwa Altaguri, reporter from the Chicago Tribune, and Will Lee, aka Old School. You know Will Marwa sits next to Will in the Tribune newsroom, and you know what they talk about all the time? What do you talk about, Marwa, all the time with Will, besides recipes and cool and other? What do you really talk about?
No, we talk about Game of Thrones 100% of the time.
All right, so let's get into it. Will, what do you make of it now?
This is, I am not overstating this at all. This is like one of the best times to be a television fan right now. I am having, each week, I am like enthralled. I completely shut off after 5 p.m. on Sunday because my entire Sunday night belongs to Game of Thrones.
So Tribune editors know, do not call him. There could be 10 homicides within, like, down your street. Mm-hmm. You're not getting leaving the house.
They better know.
They better know, right? Mm-hmm. All right, so what about the... I guess the big deal is, Marwa, the Jon Snow and the blonde hottie, what's her name?
Daenerys.
Yes, Daenerys, mother of dragons. Eventually, they're going to meet and something's going on. So, are they going to fall in love or what? Let's just get to it. Or are they going to hate each other?
I'm kind of thinking that they might be a little bit kind of hesitant toward one another. I mean, this is something that we've been waiting for so long. There's so much build up to this moment. I still can't believe it's happening in 3 days that we're finally going to see this. And I can't imagine that both of them are going to be on board with an alliance right away. I mean, we saw last episode Daenerys was asking that Jon bend the knee. She's expecting him to bend the knee and you know, mm-hmm. serve her. And he has no interest in any of this, you know, the Thrones game. His concern is the White Walkers, right. And that's why he's meeting with her. So I think they're going to be on a little bit of a different page. And the thing is Jon still doesn't know that he's a Targaryen. He still doesn't know that. So the question is, when is he going to find that out, and how is Daenerys going to react to that news?
I'd like to jump in here and say that Marwa has added an entirely new level of conversation to our discussions about Game of Thrones, because we just banter about the dragons and the
how
beautiful
cool it is,
and the fights
know,
and stuff. And
we haven't made any references to breasts, nor will we now.
No, absolutely.
Right?
But you've elevated it to a better, much better level with this very insightful and well-rounded knowledge of the series that I think we've been lacking. So thank you.
Marwa, why is the series so popular? Why do people, you've been watching, even at the Tribune newsroom, people are like, I'm not going to watch, I'm not, and then they start watching. What is going on culturally with this thing?
It's just such a good story. It's just such a good story. It's, I mean, it's political, it's emotional, it's so... It's unlike anything else that's out there. And I mean, the thing is a lot of people view it as fantasy. Like, this is going to be like watching Lord of the Rings. And that kind of turns them off because not everyone's a fantasy person.
Right.
But this is, I mean, it's a fantasy series, but it's just so cutthroat and so interesting. And I think that's why it's so popular. I mean, Will, what do you think?
I think it's exactly it. It's that great mixture of fantasy. Like right now, fantasy is a thing all over pop culture, but it's also deeply rooted in real things.
In politics.
As John, as we met the famous George R. Yes, thank you. When we met him, it was a great lesson because he went point by point what figures in history actually inspired this. What actual sieges and big figures actually did this. So it really does add a reality to it.
Marwa, were you at the Tribune when Will and I had lunch with George R. R. Martin?
I was not. I can't believe you guys did that. I'm still baffled.
I don't think we got enough cred for that, Will. We didn't get enough cool cred.
They should have sent out an email summarizing all of it
and put it out there, an article. What Will had, like crawfish etouffee, and he talked about this and that, right?
It was, yeah.
That exactly. was really something.
It was a heck of a spread. It was really a magical day. That was November, I want to say, 2015. It was magic.
He's faking that. He knows exactly what it was. Yeah. He's too eager.
I know, right? All right, so what about you, Jeff? You've experienced some people who are just getting into the series now.
Yes, I will say that Brian Altimer, who is my producing partner, And
he's into it.
He's into it, and so he and I are huge into it, and we send each other photos of each self when crazy things happen, when a certain mountain smashed a certain skull.
Like react shots?
Yeah,
like
reaction
selfie
shots.
Reacts.
Like, what? And then, so Rokan just started getting into it, and he's been pushing through. I mean, he's watching like 3 episodes a day. And
but is he doing it out of love or because Ro thinks he has to be, culturally relevant?
Well, he's finally been – no, that's part of it, but he's finally realized that this is a huge thing and that there's more to it than just fairy tale and dragons. And so we've taken a notice to him that he started using Game of Thrones references a lot. And he's – and it's just –
He can't help it.
He was talking about Illinois politics, and he said, winter is coming. I mean, he quotes dragons and houses. And
has he made the Mike Madigan Night King comparison yet?
Not yet.
He will. I noticed that, though. That happens to me often. I was just doing a piece last week on people in Wisconsin who chip themselves,
mm-hmm.
right? Like they want to be chipped. You heard about that one? They want to be chipped. And it was like a satire. I'd written a satire off it and saying that the wise masters know all about what's good for us mm-hmm. because our wise master. And the editor said, what's wise masters? See, that's how it goes.
Absolutely.
Right?
What's that? Although, you fear chipping for a very long time, though, John, to be fair.
I feared it. But not as much as fearing for my favorite character, Arya.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And in the last week's episode, she saw her wolf finally, Nymeria, mm-hmm. and Nymeria didn't kill her but didn't love her.
Well, there's a couple of good stories or takes on that, and I kind of sided with a couple of these, but...
These theories, right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, remember, Arya was being groomed by her father to be, this princess and to be a queen eventually and marry into a family. And she threw off all that to learn how to fight. And then I was obviously forced into it later. But her direwolf, she set her free
to save her, right?
To save her, right?
Right, Mara? She threw rocks at her to get rid of her.
Yeah, yeah.
So she wouldn't be murdered by...
Back when Cersei wanted to kill her.
Right. Yeah. And so they're both the same character in that regard. She doesn't want to be a house pet. She's this wild beast, and she's the queen now. And so there's no way she would go back, and I think she gets it that she's her. And kind of when she walks away, she kind of says that you're not, that's not you. Right. The way she said that that's not me, I think it's a really good story.
She's going to come back and save her.
Well,
come
of course,
on.
Of course.
There's going to be a...
Don't ruin it. You're spoiling it. Spoiling it.
I did not read that. I have not read the fifth book for a reason. One, they're difficult reads. Two, and I'm not talking about Tolstoy. I just feel that Martin needed more editing. But two, I just have this gut feeling, Jeff and Mara and Will, that she'll be on the road and something will happen. She'll be threatened, and here will come the gang of wolves led by her Nymeria.
Yeah, that's the overriding theme, and that would be perfect, because they're going to need all of it. The dire wolves are, mortal enemies with the whites, so it's perfect, really.
So what's the gift that the evil Urien mm-hmm. is going to give? I think it's the horn.
I think...
What is the horn again?
Well, the horn is from the books, and it's supposed to be this horn that Euron has, and the horn can control dragons, essentially. But I just don't think that's coming into the show. I mean, we have 13 episodes left, and I think it's kind of too late for them to introduce a horn that can control dragons, and Euron's had it this whole time, and that's going to be another factor that could influence the whole end game. I just feel like it's a little bit too late. I at first thought that Tyrion's head was going to be the gift, but now it looks like the gift is Ilaria Sand, since she killed Cersei's daughter. So,
mm. Indeed, that's mine as well. I share that.
What here? What about this whole business of there's only 13 left? There's only 13 episodes left in 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. Do you ever read a book and you love the book and you're at the last few, you're at maybe 100 pages left, That's presupposing that people read books that are longer than 100 pages. And you love it, and then you start hoarding it. Like you, I don't know, like you, when you stop, you reread another chapter, the previous chapter, you're trying to stall it out. What will happen culturally when Game of Thrones is coming to an end?
I personally feel that, you know, the fantasy itself, which has been big for at least the last decade or so, it can't last. You know, right. Things always happen in waves. And, you know, it started with Harry Potter and then all these comic book movies. And probably we're coming to, I think, the end of it. So whenever Game of Thrones ends, we'll probably feel satisfaction that this part of our lives has kind of moved on, that we've seen this sort of growth of these people, these individuals. So,
what do you think, Mara?
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen when Game of Thrones ends. It's just so hard to imagine. It really is. People are going to be upset. People are not going to have anything to do on Sunday night and nothing to talk about at work the next day.
They won't want to. Will they want to go into some other like realistic thing, like The Wire,
Breaking Bad,
or that's not really realistic.
Well, it's
but The Wire or the story like of like you know, maybe a great TV series of a old columnist and his young reporter friends who go out and solve crimes. Ooh. And stuff.
Ooh. Yeah. This fall.
Who's going to play me?
I think yeah. They might go back to that kind of like TV. I mean, before I watched Game of Thrones, The Wire was my favorite show.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of agree with what Will was saying earlier about how fantasy might come to a bit of a halt after this. And we might see the rise of other genres becoming more popular. Because at the end of the day, I think, like we said, the reason why people love Game of Thrones so much isn't because of the dragons and the magic. It's because of the story that's being told. And you can do that in any, really, genre.
But do any of you see a spinoff in the future? I know there's always talks of ways this can kind of divulge into another storyline, maybe outside the realm. I don't know. I haven't read the book, so I wouldn't know. I know there's a ton of characters in there, and they're all pretty interesting. So you two, Will and Morrow, I was wondering if you might have an idea on what you would like to see, or maybe something you think maybe worth exploring.
Oh, I do. Rhaegar Targaryen. I would love a series about this prince who we've never seen and, you know, who is like the heir apparent, Dany's older brother who was killed by Robert in the events before the series began. I would watch the whole thing in, you know, however long it would take.
That sounds good.
The Rhaegar Targaryen, because it's a heroic figure with a crazy dad. So you get into that whole Oedipal thing.
But then right. He kidnaps the Stark, supposedly kidnaps, Lyanna Stark, which is just would be its own thing. We get to see a close-up of her and which what made her, because she is supposedly as tough as Arya. So That would be great to see as well.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't be the true fantastical thing would be the First Men and the little forest.
Children of the Forest.
Children of the Forest. Mm-hmm. You know, sliding the blade of obsidian into the knight to make him the Night King.
Right. How about, what would you like to see the...
Where do they come from? Okay, you guys know. Where do they come from? They were created to do what? By the forest people, Mara? Well, how are they... Who created these Night Kings and the White Walkers?
Well, we didn't know that up until last season, I think, when the show told us that the Children of the Forest created kind of their own kryptonite, and I think we're still just kind of waiting for more information on that, and I think that kind of spurred a bunch of theories about how the White Walkers were created and more in detail, and then, you know, what's going to be what actually kills them. But now the Children of the Forest are all gone, so it's kind of this big open-ended question.
Right. Absolutely. And we also don't know. There's also, when you go back further in the history, there's all these, you know, fantastical characters like the Falcon King and the Storm Lords and, you know, all of these sorts of, you know, the people flying. And it would be wondrous to see all of that. You know, I don't think HBO would want to budget all of that. But it would be magnificent to see, for certain.
Jeff, do you see the success of this series? I think it's character-driven and writing, mm-hmm. not CGI.
Sure.
so many things. There's so much CGI. You're like, what am I even watching here?
But they also do a lot to go on location and build these massive sets that are kind of unique to TV broadcast. Well, not broadcast TV, but unique to TV nowadays that you don't see because a lot of it is sound stages and CGI, whereas they go and they spend a ton of money. I mean, even the show Top Gear, they drove through the castle.
Yeah.
They drove through that set and it's massive. And mm-hmm. they don't see that a lot. But I think if you look at historically at like HBO and how they kind of put stuff out there, like Sopranos, they're heavy hitters, they're big hits. They all kind of did that 6-7 seasons kind of thing and then faded away. But then there's a rebirth usually later. I mean, there's talk about a Sopranos movie. Obviously, it's going to be kind of tough now that the lead is dead. But you also have the return of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is another one of those things where it was hugely successful, took a time off, and came back. And John's shaking his head because he's not a fan. But I understand.
I used to be a fan.
What happened?
What happened? Yeah.
It's too serious. I wrote about it. If you're interested, go Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah.
It's a good column.
I just couldn't watch anymore. But I liked it. You know, I liked the whole like ride sharing with the fat hooker and all that, and the, you know, to the Dodger game. That was good.
I think John saw a little too much of his own life stolen without credit.
Not that. Please. Not that. All right. So when we do this again, we're going to have I want to have breakdowns of the future. So how the series goes from these two. This is your assignment before you go out and solve crimes in our new show. Ooh. I'll just be like the voice. Like, you guys can be the Charlie's Angels, and I'll be the voice.
You'll be Charlie?
Right, I'll be Charlie. Yeah, Marwa, can you please, Will, can you find out about that committeeman? You know, that racist email in City Hall?
You got it, Charlie.
All right. Mara Altigori, Will Lee, Game of Thrones. These are our go-to Game of Thrones people. You're going to be hearing more from them and more about them as the weeks go on. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. That's been another edition of the Chicago Way. This one with Mara Altigori and Will Lee talking Game of Thrones from the Chicago Tribune. Jenny Tyner, Steve Dale talking about cat cafes. I can't even breathe now. I'm allergic to the damn things. And Jeff Carlin, who's feeling better.
Mm.
Right, Jeff?
I am. A little bit.
He was a little under the weather, but we're going to make him some tea. This has been John Cass, Jeff Carlin, and for everyone else who I just mentioned, have a great week. And we'll see you again on another edition of the Chicago Wake.